Welcome to the How and the Why. With John Barrett Ingalls. Exploring and celebrating the creative process and the creative purpose of authors, editors, and artists that make up and inspire the Black Hill Press family. Black Hill Press is dedicated to the novella. We believe a great story is never defined by its length. Let's get creative.
Brought to you by Black Hill Press. My name is John Barrett Ingalls, and today I am connected with Drew Arnold, the editor of Novella T. Welcome, Drew. How are you tonight?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm getting the voice warmed up, and getting my resonators working so that all of our listeners out there can enjoy my wonderful questions for you. Now, Drew, you are the editor of Novella T, and I wrote this little brief thing, and you can help me elaborate on it. But Novella T is basically a subscription-based serial online publisher of novellas. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's accurate. That's correct. So what we do is we publish novellas and long stories, and I kind of like to say that because our guidelines are 13,000 words to 40,000 words, but we've also published things a little bit shorter that kind of are in the gray area, and everyone has their gray area about what a novella is. So I'd say we publish novellas and long stories in a serialized format through weekly installments. And currently we're publishing those through email, but we are looking into developing an app, and hopefully that's in the near future.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Now, you're pretty young. Like you launched, what, this year or the end of last year?
Yeah, so we had our official launch right around AWP, so February of this year.
Mm-hmm.
It did start, the journal actually started in a class at UMass Boston in the MFA program taught by Oswald Melincheck, who founded Ogni back in the 70s. And through this class, you
Omni, the magazine?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
And so he teaches at UMass Boston now, where I was in the MFA program. And through this class, you study literary publishing, kind of the kind of like what guides editors, and also the technology and the process. And there's always a debate, print versus e. And then at the end of the semester, you break it out into small groups and you launch a journal. And some of these journals have stayed together and continued on, and some are just kind of one-off projects. So this is Novella T is hopefully one of the ones that carrying it on past the class and into the real world and becoming something real. And it turns out it is. So, actually, while I'm talking about it, I might as well give a shout out to Consequence Magazine, which started in that class, I think, like 7 years ago. And they're a great journal that publish fiction, nonfiction, poetry, interviews, translations about the culture and consequence of war. And they've, you know, they've grown a ton and are doing really well. So yeah, it was a good class that got a lot of people a good start. So but yeah, we after the class we kind of took a couple months and got our stuff together and kind of got a new staff and gathered all the submissions, because I mean during a 3 month semester or less, it's kind of hard to gather the content, and that was a big challenge getting started. But now we have a build up of submissions and we have things coming out, so we kind of needed that time to do that.
How did you I guess fish for submissions? How did you go about searching for them?
Yeah, so three of the first six that we're publishing are solicited stories. And to get those, we just dove into lit journals and read as many back issues as we possibly could, and kind of counted pages and guessed at word count and hoped they were, you know, long enough to serialize. And I mean, also you read the story and you figure out if it's going to fit the form. And then, you know, once we got listed, the review was a great help. I don't know if you know them, but they put out a weekly email, and it's also a website about lit journals. And once we were talked about on there, we got some submissions coming in. I always stutter when I say, you know, Doyotrope or whatever has been a good resource. And then also we're reaching out to MFA programs because, you know, when writers are finishing up their MFA program, their thesis is basically a novella length project. If they're working on a novel, or it could be a short story collection, but, you know, it's like turn in 80 to 120 pages or whatever of your fiction, and I think a lot of novellas are going to come out of that. So we're trying to get some of those too.
So for the reader, they go to your website and it's a subscription based, and it's $25 a year to subscribe, and then you have access to all of your titles, or you could just pay per title. What is it that you do that to draw in your readers, your subscribers?
As far as marketing?
As far as marketing, as far as like once they're on the site, like how do they, what draws people? Is it like people who are familiar with the author, or I mean, in your brief lifetime so far, what do you find? How do you find, are people doing more of the annual subscription or going for the author? And then how
people
do you?
People are doing more of the annual subscription, that's kind of the we want that to, because
right,
part of being a journal is to introduce readers to writing that we think should be read.
Mm-hmm.
So if people are just buying one, I mean, it's great that they're supporting that author and reading that one story, but we want to say, hey, you know, there's going to be something completely new and also awesome coming up next. And as far as getting people to the site to hear about it, it's been largely word of mouth. Some of our authors are great marketers themselves, which you kind of have to be in you know this day and age.
Right. Absolutely.
So they're kind of coming from all over the place, and I'm not sure if they're drawn because of the author or just because they're intrigued by the concept. I think that the concept is pretty appealing to people who kind of want a sample of literature that like doesn't, that, you know, that, that like doesn't overtake their life. They can still read their novel, they can still read their story collections, but here's, you know, one more piece that you can read over, you know, 3 to 8 weeks, that's always there and always coming.
Yeah, I think, you know, with moving into whatever future we're heading in, you know, the e-readers and reading things online or on your phone or on your tablet is definitely a direction that a lot of us are heading in, and especially these new younger readers. How do you feel, as you said, that in your class there was the debate between the printed page and e-journals? Like, how do you and your authors feel about, obviously you're the supporter of it, you wouldn't have created this, but are your authors wanting to get a printed publication as well? Or are they feeling that this is where they need to be?
Did you say as far as the authors?
As far as the authors, and, you know, is this something that you would like to translate into once they're up, like to actually get them printed? Or
see, I don't know what the future of Novelty is. I think I kind of conceived it as a launch point for these longer works. So, you know, all the rights revert to the author, and, you know, if they find success and they want to publish it, you know, in a collection or whatever, I think that would be a success for us, because, you know, something that we've published has again been validated by someone else. As far as a physical book and e-reader, I think that I love having books. There's people out there who are doing really beautiful books, and also of novellas. You know, novella books, Black Hill Press. They're putting out these things that are works of art in a way that an e-publication is. But the idea of the e-publication came about for a couple of reasons. And it's, first of all, it's much cheaper. We don't have to deal with any of the printing costs, which can be a big risk. But, you know, they have the rewards as well, you know. But the idea of serializing a novella on a device that you can get it anywhere is kind of a way to infuse your life with this story, you know. Like, the idea came up because I was on the T here in Boston during rush hour, and I'd always have a heavy physical book in my bag, but there's no seats, so I'm standing there, and I'm looking at my phone, and I had to delete Candy Crush because it was taking up too much of my time and it was making me stupid. and then I'm looking at my phone and reading the same Facebook updates that I've seen, you know, too many times, and I'm like, I need something that will better my life while I stand for these 30 minutes
on the track. Expand your mind, yeah.
So I think there's places in our life for both e-readers and physical books. I don't think that they're necessarily in competition with each other, but I mean, they're both putting, I mean, you can kind of see our aesthetic. We're like very streamlined, mm-hmm. you know, because we think that over everything, the words matter. So,
right.
I mean,
yeah,
both.
That's
both
what should sell
those.
Yeah. Yeah, because you're on the site and you go to the subscription page or even your homepage, you have your list of authors, and then it's it's not like, you know, somebody's photograph is selling the story. It's, you want to, you get the title, you got to click on here, and then you get the whole description of the story. And it's a story that sells itself, basically.
Yeah, and I think what you were talking about earlier about how to bring readers, I think that's one of our challenges is getting to the point where readers trust us to provide something that they want to read. And to that end, we are going to launch soon a feature that gives the first installment of a piece for free, which is also kind of more in line with what it's happening with e-content and, you know, with apps and everything else. So,
to draw them in, give them a little taste, make them want more. I love it.
Yeah.
And now, so 5 years from now, you'll have, you know, however many authors, all of this content. And it's still, you know, when somebody has an annual subscription and they choose, I want to read this book. And does it work that they can get multiple books, multiple chapters or segments of these books sent? Or is it they're focusing on one, and then when they're done, then they can move on to the next one and keep it at their own pace? Or does novelty regulate how much content is sent at a time?
So we're going to stick with the one installment per week of a new thing of a new work, and then subscribers have access to back issues for a full year of that story being published. And part of that is just in keeping with the kind of curating nature of the journal. Because we always, like, there's quite a few sites out there that have started de-serializing literature. And those are, there's a couple differences, both in length and sometimes in genre, I guess. But the main difference is that those are more e-publishing houses, I would say, whereas as a journal, I think one of our, you know, highest priorities is to introduce new literature to readers that has been through that sort of editorial eye and that is given the same chance as, you know, like, say someone comes on the site and they see Gregory Spatz and they're like, I loved his two novels, you know, I'm going to read that one. But we want to say, hey, but check out, you know, this new story that is as good. And
so they'll have access to the whole backlog, but what is being sent to them is whatever the current.
Exactly. Yeah. So, now, I mean, that kind of falls into like a journal model, right? I mean, you can order, you know,
back issues. Yeah. Now, because everything is being serialized, every new subscriber will, whatever your current title is, they're starting with the beginning. It's not like a journal where you're just coming in halfway into the story. Are they getting the whole story? So your current title right now is Saints and Martyrs, and if I were to subscribe right now, my first installment would be the beginning. I'm not keeping up with where the entire journal is.
So we catch up the new reader on the current story. So you subscribe on a Thursday, you're going to get the rest of the, you're going to get the installments that you missed before the next one comes out on Monday.
Okay.
And then, you know, you can read those at your own pace, or you can catch up and then, you know, play along with everyone else on Monday.
And it's sent to you in a downloadable file, and you can keep it in any form you want, or
actually comes. We use MailChimp,
okay.
And it's just in the body of the email.
Ah.
So anyone with a smartphone, really, or a computer or a tablet, whatever, can access it if they can access their email. And then you don't have to deal with downloading files or anything like that. You just have to access your email.
And you said that you're creating an app that might streamline that to just go to the app, and when you're subscribed, it's there for you.
Yeah, that's the goal. And I'm not sure if the email service will end at that point, or if there'll be kind of two different forms that we'll stick with. We're like looking for a designer. Like, we're in the very early stages of that. We're still figuring out exactly the functionality of the app. I think we want to keep it pretty simple. But, you know, having easier access to back issues would be nice as well. It's right now it's kind of a process through the website where you have to go on and order it and so forth. But if you can just hit a button and read previous issues, I think, you know, that'll also, you know, increase readership and all that. The idea is to make good literature as accessible and easy to our readers as we can. So if the app helps, we'll do that.
Right. Yeah. I mean, accessibility is key, especially with anything having to do with electronic content or the internet, or, you know, we're moving so quickly. Pretty soon we're going to be reading things on watches or just on our glasses or, you know, in the chip that's implanted in our head or whatever.
Right.
So as a publisher, how many titles do you have in the pipeline? How far ahead do you look?
I would love to be a year ahead. We are not quite a year ahead. We're a couple months. But we have, you know, it's me and Katie Lee and Kate Carito, and the three of us are the editorial staff, and then we have a couple of really great readers. But it's, I mean, as you know, the novella is a long thing to get through. So we have quite a few. Our backlog is a little bit longer than I'd like it to be of stories that we're getting through. But you know, it's been a busy time, and now over the summer, hopefully we can get through all that and start to, you know, put out stories and put them online so people know what they're getting into when they sign up for a year. I recognize that that's kind of a risk that people are taking without seeing, you know, the title and the author and the synopsis that's going to happen in October, you know.
I think that's a great idea, definitely, to give somebody a sense of the voice of the author. It's difficult with, you know, unless you're somebody who follows a lot of literary journals, but it's difficult to just see a name and trust that, you know.
I mean, yeah, that's always kind of the challenge is if people are going to pay $25 to ride along with you, they better trust the editorial driver, you know. And I think as we build our, you know, our backlog of stories that we've published as we get along, people can see the names and see the stories that we have published, and hopefully that helps build that trust as well, because I think we published some excellent things, and there's some good stuff coming up on the horizon too. So it's hard. It kind of just takes time to build that credibility.
And you're so young and new. I mean, you launch something, you have no idea how it's going to take or how people are going to respond. And, you know, it's, I'm sure, a learning process as we're young as well. We're still discovering, you know, the best way to do what we want to do.
Right. Right. And to kind of that end, like I said, we're starting to bring in quite a bit of unsolicited material, but I also want to build up our reprint line, because I think, like, these journals that print longer stuff, some of them only have, you know, a couple hundred subscribers or maybe even less, or, you know, maybe a few more. But the point is that not as many eyes as could are seeing the stories that they put out. And so I think Novella T could be kind of an online or, an e-arm of these journals that are putting out great work that because of the limitations of print, they're not reaching all their readers.
Right. I mean, you know, the future is here, really. again, we're nearing the end of Novella Month, which is, it's great that there is a month honoring this unsung hero of literature. Now, you said that you call yourself a journal, and I feel like the novella is the perfect length for a journal. Is that kind of why you went towards that medium, novella?
Yeah, I think obviously, well, maybe it's not obvious to everyone else, but it's obvious to you and I because we're in it. But it's definitely a underserved form of literature. And I think part of that is because of publishing houses' priorities and its marketability and a lot of things go into it. It's also the idea to publish novellas came hand in hand with the idea to publish serials. And what we do is send out an installment that is about the length of a short story that you would read in a magazine or a journal, that you can read in like one sitting. And to do that for a longer novel, there's a couple of aspects that keep us from doing novels. But one of them is that, you know, we want to keep our installments short, so as not to overtake the reading life of our readers, but just to say, hey, here's one more thing you can read.
It's a commitment, you know, especially if you have a novel, like you're committed, in this format, your readers are going to be committed until that story is done. And if it's something that maybe they don't have a taste for, that's going to, if it was a novel, it definitely would be a wait till the next title came out.
Right. Well, yeah, our hope is that our readers have a taste for everything we're putting out. But
of
certainly, I mean, both the length of the installment and how many weeks it would take to get through something. It just made sense to do it to the novella length. And also, I mean, one more place to highlight, you know, this kind of sidelined form. It just made sense. I mean, the market out there of unpublished novellas has got to be pretty significant because there's not a lot of places that do it.
Glad you do, and I we're running out of time here, but I just want to give like a quick plug to get our listeners to go and check out your site. It's www.novella-e.com. Correct?
That's right.
All right. Well, Drew, I wish you all the best. Everybody go and check out the site, support novellas, and support authors, and maybe we'll talk in a year and see where you've gone once you've introduced the samples and maybe the new app as well. We'll be talking about all the new success and everything.
That'd be great. I'm looking forward to that. Thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you, Drew.
This has been The How and the Why by Black Hill Press. I'm John Barrett Ingalls. The show was produced by Kevin Stanek and yours truly. The music is Mea Lua by Bossa Zuzu. I wanted to thank everybody for your creativity and your inspiration, and to remind you all to keep making art. Thank you.